Friends, it is a joy for me to be back here with you all this morning. Warren Wilson is deeply ingrained into my very soul. I love this place. I have been back many years. I remember the first year that I came back after graduating in 1977. 5 months later, when I came back for homecoming, the class of 1937 was introduced, and I thought, boy, look at those old duffers. They look pretty good. Well, guess what? 40 years later, here I am, one of the old duffers. But it's a joy to be here with you. Let us listen for the word of God as it comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for he was but one when I called him. But I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My wife, Mary Jane, and I moved to our current home about 10 years ago now. One of the first things that I did when we got to this new place, it's 2.5 acres and it's got woods as well as open fields. One of the first things that I did was to install some new birdhouses, bluebird houses, and a hummingbird feeder. Ruby-throated hummingbirds are incredible little beings. Each year they migrate to Central America, where they winter over. Their migratory pattern takes them from places all up and down the eastern seacoast, and they stop at the Gulf of Mexico and refuel for a flight of 500 to 600 miles, 30 hours in length. That's a gargantuan flight for a little animal that is a tenth of an ounce. What is it that draws them home? One of the things that I realized in researching hummingbirds is that they average about 2 to 3 eggs in their nest, and their nests are made of spider webs. And so as the babies expand and grow in the nest, so does the spider web. But hummingbirds, when they lay their eggs, they're about the size of a Tic Tac breath mint. So that gives you an idea of how small and yet how incredible this is. I remember one time watching as a group of hummingbirds, a mother and two babies, it looked like two little lima beans on wings behind the mother flying. This past April, Mary Jane was looking outdoors. It was about time to expect the hummingbirds to return. And while she was there, one came up and hovered at eye level, looking at her, and it was almost as if it was saying, "Hey, woman, I'm home. Where's my food?" She took it as a cue to prepare that nectar and to put it back out, and within 5 minutes, the hummers were back feeding again. What is it about these tiny creatures that draws them back to home? Any place that is a place of nurture and shelter and food draws animals back to home. And we are no different. For us here at Warren Wilson, this was a place of nurture and of great learning and a great source of enjoyment and fellowship with people of all ages. This is homecoming weekend. So we've come back home, many of us, from distances. We heard of one fellow yesterday who drove from Houston, Texas to be here for his award. And you're willing to make that kind of sacrifice when you're going home. Homecoming gives alumni a few hours to reconnect with dear friends and members, to connect with an essence of our younger selves when we were here years ago. If you're not an alumni, then perhaps you moved here years ago as employees or as retirees or as members of the larger Swannanoa community, but this is home for you. And we do things in our lives to make home special and more the place where we belong. If our home is healthy, it is a place where we flourish, where we become each day more of who we're called to be. The Warren Wilson community conveys the values of lifelong learning, not just academically, but when it works well, interpersonally. Here we developed our own unique skill sets and engaged in opportunities for personal growth, which furthered our identity, our sense of self, and how we work with others. One of the deep values that took root into our lives here is a sense of an integrated community. When I left here, I carried with me a strong sense of the important role that community plays, and have certainly made that a central theme in the churches that I've served. If you were a student here, regardless of what major you declared, you were taught how to think critically about the world. But the academic exercise is just the first step. Here we experienced a place where we were all able to test our own positions, explore ideas out loud, disagree with people, and come out friends on the other side, where we understood our calling as Warren Wilson people to be engaged in the world in which we live. Here we were taught how to engage those issues in an effort to construct positive change in our society. Warren Wilson has always been on the cutting edge of social justice issues. That is our communal heritage. We celebrated Alma Shippey yesterday, the first black student to enroll in this school, welcomed by the rest of the students in 1952, 2 years before Brown and Board of Education. Warren Wilson is a place where we understood and demonstrated racial harmony and international cooperation to embrace environmental justice and global sustainability. Here we learned to honor and to respect the sexuality and the personal difference of everyone. And here we learn to stand up for human rights. Along the way, there were professors and college employees, older friends, who played key personal roles in our development. In the symposium, Plato wrote that one of the highest privileges is to be a midwife to the birth of the soul of another. Many of you in this community serve in that capacity every day as a midwife for the soul of other people. As alumni, many of us have become that for people in our own communities. When we awaken to our calling to actively work for the transformation of the world and its inhabitants, we discover a vitality in our souls that awaken us to life and to the joy of living, even in its complexity. A home is our dwelling, and the origin of the word to dwell means to dig deep. To awaken the soul is to dig deep. The prophet Isaiah wrote, Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, the quarry from which you were dug. If we only engage the concept of home at a surface level, then we have not tapped into the ritual potential that exists throughout life. So each spring, this school sends out graduates with them, and they take a personal integrity along with them, which was nurtured here. The notion of home is ultimately realized within our own bodies. We carry home with us. And every graduate of this institution, everyone who serves this institution, everyone who celebrates this institution, carries home in the integrity of your own bodies. Because that is where heart, mind, and soul reside. Every home has a threshold. And in the course of a lifetime, we cross many thresholds. The word threshold is related to the word to thresh, which describes a separation of grain from straw or wheat from chaff. So to cross a threshold in our lives is to engage at a deeper level, to look for deeper meaning, to leave behind a part of our old selves which no longer works for us anymore. And we embrace thresholds. Many of them come to us as new jobs, a new relationship, a marriage, children. Thresholds that take us to a place in life that we had no idea we were capable of. And we discover the deeper identity of who we're called to be when we cross those thresholds. But there are other thresholds that are unwelcomed, unanticipated, thrust upon us, like losing a job, or a health crisis, or sustaining a major injury. In all cases, we must learn to embrace the changes that impact our lives as we seek to integrate them into who we are called to be. If we are to continue to grow, having an active sense of call or direction in life does not preclude us from the struggles that and the wrestling with the travails and turbulence of being human. Consider some of the thresholds that our nation has been crossing in the last 9 months. The U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Control Agreements, the reversal of a policy regarding the dumping of carbon emissions into the environment, an unwelcome threshold in this school, or the threshold of violence crossed by the KKK and neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, Virginia, this past August, with violent demonstrations and midnight torch parades reminiscent of the brown shirts of Germany in Kristallnacht in November of 1938. That threshold aroused a visceral response in me. You see, in 1965, my father, who was also a Presbyterian minister, integrated a black and a white church in Johnson City, Tennessee. I have grown up with the value of the respect for humanity, regardless of race, color, creed, sexuality. And because of that, I felt that the violation of what we saw against the integrity of this country, I needed to stand up and redouble my efforts. But there are other thresholds, some that are far worse. We've returned to the threshold of nuclear war with North Korea. The threshold of violence took on an even more shocking dimension this past week for us with the worst mass shooting in our nation's history. And the deeper tragedy is that this country has been numbed by hundreds of mass shootings over the last 40 years since I graduated. Have your passions been aroused? Good. I hope so. Come home to yourself. Because the passions that we have in life to address the issues that are facing our society come from the place of home. And we are called you and I, as people of this covenant community, called to respond. Now, we can't respond to everything. But one of the lessons that I learned here at Warren Wilson, I was on the carpentry crew for all 4 years. I chose to stay on that crew to be able to focus my energies, develop the skills, and make a difference. I wanted also to be on Ernst Larson's crew and the farm crew. Would love to have done that, but that's for another life. I made a choice. We all have to make choices as to which cause we are going to embrace and support. But we all need to make a choice, you and I, because it's part of the Warren Wilson way. Now more than ever, the world needs us, those who call Warren Wilson home, to live by our faith and to stand for justice and righteousness, God's justice and righteousness in this world. But there is one type of threshold in each of our lives that we've not yet addressed. 19th century philosopher Soren Kierkegaard once wrote, "One's life can only be lived by looking forwards, but it can only be understood by looking backwards." Our scripture passage this morning says, "Look back to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For Abraham was alone when I called him." One of the greatest thresholds that we face as human beings is the one on the edge of what we know as personal failure, or our own shortcomings, the parts of our side we'd rather not attend to. For Abraham and Sarah, it was coming to the twilight days of their lives without any offspring and fearing that they would die childless, even though God had teased them with the promise that they would be the forebears of many peoples. In their old age, this covenantal promise seemed from God like a sick joke. Abraham and Sarah had tried throughout their lives together to have children, but to no avail. And now, long after menopause, as a couple in their old age, any remote human possibility of fulfilling this promise had vanished. But when all hope had died, God intervened. Out of the barrenness of life, a child was born named Isaac, Isaac, which means laughter. What a great response to life. Laughter. At some point or other in most of our lives, we all hit a brick wall. That recognition that we have done everything we can to accomplish a major goal and have fallen short. For the nation of Israel, it occurred that when they had been in exile for nearly 40 years without any hope of returning, the God of Israel brought them back into their homeland when they had no hope for themselves. Regardless of the particular circumstances that we are faced with, sometimes we arrive at a point where we have run out of options. Where do we turn when the life we've known has imploded? We need a sign over our thresholds at that point that says hope, maybe even with flashing lights. Hope. Theologian Richard Rohr has written in a devotional piece called The Myth of Transgression, "It is in falling down that we learn almost everything that matters spiritually. You have to lose it or miss it or long for it in order to desire it and seek it. We don't really know love until we need love. Until then, we have no way of knowing the long, lonely distance between God, reality, and ourselves. This kind of division is overcome by actions, which come not from ourselves, but from the other side. The old way of being must be revealed as inadequate or even wrong for the new to be born. We most often come to divine union, not by doing it right, but by doing it wrong. Thanks be to God. The Christian faith and this college community are good at teaching us to give the best that we have to life. But here we also learn our limitations and what it means to confront those limitations as a human being. We all come to an awareness that our best efforts are sometimes not good enough. And we fall exhausted across the threshold of home, having expended everything we have to give. But our faith teaches us that we are all spiritual beings with an intimate connection with a Creator God, who in the face of darkness and deep despair offers hope and the promise of new life. Look to the rock, turn and dig deeply in your faith. Discover your home with God. Even though you may still feel a long way off from your goals or your destination, the very God who brought forth a baby from a barren womb, the same God who returned a nation of enslaved exiles back to their homes, the same God who raised a dead Jesus from the grave to eternal life, is at work in each of our lives. Thanks be to God. That is the promise revealed in the Christ. And there we find true home. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.